Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, December the 11th. And we will talk this hour about how you can be a small talk survivor during the holiday party season. Our guest this hour is Deborah Fine, author of the book The Fine Art of Small Talk. And she says you are not alone if you are dreading the thought of attending one more open house or a business event or a social gathering for the holidays. And what about those family get-togethers? How many minefields are there? We will talk about how we can survive the holiday gatherings with our families and with others. And welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Or send your question via email if you're shy and you don't want to call in. Talk@WPR.org. Talk@WPR.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Deborah Fine is a former engineer, now a nationally recognized speaker and trainer. She is the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk, How to Start a Conversation, Keep It Going, Build Networking Skills, and Leave a Positive Impression. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How's icy Wisconsin today?
It is very icy where
what
I
a
sit.
Storm.
Yeah, this is not fun.
No.
Southern Wisconsin under winter storm warnings, ice storm warnings, 3 to 5 inches of snow for the Madison area, snow, sleet, freezing drizzle. So,
well, you're at the top of the news about it, and I imagine that it's not something that's never happened before. So.
Yeah, but it's
not to worry.
It is getting old. This December, we've had some sort of winter weather event every other day, and it's not even winter yet.
But, yeah, I hear ya.
Anyway, we saw an article in our Wisconsin State Journal the other day that prompted our interest in this topic, and it happened to be featuring you and how we could watch out for some red flags when it comes to holiday small talk, especially when it comes to, I think this was more family get-togethers and questions like, are you two ever going to get married?
Joy, that would be funny if it weren't real.
Yeah, that happens right? All the time, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, I hope that hasn't come out of my mouth. And I do this for a living, say, you know, conversation killers to avoid. But I think sometimes without realizing it, just things like, are you dating anyone, come flying out of our mouth. And it's just a terrible spot to put anybody in, whether it's obviously a member of your family or a friend or a casual acquaintance. Are you dating anyone is really putting someone on the spot.
Yeah, you know, the other one is are you when are you two going to start having children?
Oh, I mean... Who doesn't get hit with that that's married and hasn't popped a child immediately? Who? Everyone gets that as if, and right in front of, it's not like they take you over in the corner and ask you privately, you know, there's something that I've really been wanting to know. As you're the future grandmother of this child, I'd really like to know, when are you two going to have children? That would be bad enough, right? The pressure, et cetera, none of your business. But at a table, let's say, for Christmas Eve dinner, here we are, 18 of us, and somebody says, so when are you two going to have children? I mean, that is just outrageous. And yet it's just common conversation. It really gets wears on people's nerves, I think. And some of us get a little touchy over things like that. We really get touchy, at least people like me, when someone says, so it looks like you've put on a few pounds down there, Deborah. That has been said to me.
Yeah,
no, really.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't imagine, you know, like a business acquaintance saying something like that, but I could imagine a mother-in-law saying something like that.
Well, and you know, Joy, you raised such an interesting thing when you say that, because we let down our guard with our family, because we, with business acquaintances or in networking situations or even at an office party, I imagine we would never be so familiar with people, and yet we think when we are interacting with family that we don't have to use those, I guess you'd call them good manners, or just be conscious of what we're saying and what we're doing to people. And we do sort of fall back into those, I don't know, like if when you were 12 type roles with our family, where if my, let's say, oldest sibling, and I was the baby, says something like, did you use maple syrup in this recipe? Instead of taking that as an inquiry, I take that as a criticism because I did not use maple syrup. I used brown sugar. Are you following me?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Because my big sister always criticized me, or if my dad says, so did Jared get a job yet? Because I was listening to that. It was so interesting about how the your economic climate looks so good there for these entry-level candidates, and hearing the news there in Wisconsin, and that was good news. But when my dad did this at Thanksgiving, for whatever it's worth, he said about his grandson, did Jared get a job yet? Well, because he just graduated from college. Well, you know, he meant that in a really friendly, warm, grandfatherly way. But to Jared, and to me now, since Jared had not found a job at that point, it felt like a lot of pressure, and felt like, isn't there anything else to talk about, Dad, besides mm-hmm. whether Jared got a job or not? Why don't you ask how Jared, you know, is enjoying Los Angeles, instead of saying, did you get a job yet, Jared?
Yeah, that's a good point, because and Jared would also tell us if he got a job, wouldn't he?
Oh, you can better believe it. And if I wanted to tell you if I was having another child, which, trust me, I'm not going to, I would be the first to announce it if I wanted you to know. And that is another good point. People disclose personal information about themselves, sometimes way too much, of course, but if somebody is willing to talk about something or open about it, they might say something. For instance, I would never ask you, Joy. You're an acquaintance of mine of about 5 minutes at this point.
Right.
It is not okay to ask an acquaintance, whether at a business event, the office party, your neighbor has an open house down the street next, or this coming Saturday, and you attend and you've never met a neighbor from down the block. You don't say to someone, are you married? That's not an okay question, because first of all, if they say no, where are we headed with this conversation? Don't ask somebody, do you have any kids? That's
How about,
not a good
yeah,
question.
Awkward pause is where we're headed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And there is a good question to ask in those kinds of situations, I think, and that's, tell me about your family, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I bet I could ask you that. I bet you have a very solid answer.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know what it is, but because mm-hmm. we all have different kinds of families, right?
Right. And in fact, I'm married and I have a bunch of animals. I don't pets. I don't have children. But I don't know if that'd be the first thing out of my mouth is that I don't have children. But I do get that question a lot about do you have children? And then there is no.
Yeah. Right, right. Whereas I mean this with, and I didn't know anything about you, obviously, mm-hmm. but I would, if I'm in a social setting or you're a neighbor down the street and I've just met you and they said, Deborah, this is Joy Cardine. Joy is, she lives about four houses down. They've been in the neighborhood for about, and of course my cue is they, but that doesn't mean you're married,
mm-hmm.
does it? When
right.
somebody says they, maybe she's a single mom with a kid, or maybe she lives with her mother. I don't know. So I say, tell me about your family.
That's an excellent idea. And you know what? This is really a coincidence. I have a neighborhood holiday gathering open house
on Saturday.
Maybe I'm stalking
you.
On Saturday.
And I really do know you.
And I was going to ask about that, because these are our fairly new neighbors who moved in, and I don't know a lot about them, and your tips are going to be very helpful. What do I
Thanks.
Say, though, if someone says to me at that gathering, do you have children? What should be
well,
my response?
We don't want to, whether it be with family or the situation you describe, in family we would allow this to escalate. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because once again, we let our guard down and we say, we take offense, and so we, with alcohol or not with alcohol, we still allow things to escalate. So when someone does that to you, I personally think that they could have done a much better job, but people just are sort of either thoughtless or just bad conversationalists. So what I would do is say, no, tell me about your family,
there
and throw
go.
The ball right back to them. And because this is the theme of my work, for whatever it's worth, is, and this is something that it took me forever to figure out, because I not only used to be an engineer, but I happened to have been very overweight. And I was a very awkward person socially. And when I say socially, that meant even the cafeteria at work. So this is, if anybody in your listening audience is shy at all, and I don't mean painfully shy, I just mean shy to some degree, they will be able to identify with what I'm about to say, and that is, it is up to us to assume the burden of other people's comfort in social situations. Most shy people, or I can almost say all shy people, the only person's comfort they're concerned with in a social situation is their own, never the other person. So if someone said to me, do you have any kids? I would be concerned about their comfort because they didn't mean anything. They weren't deliberately trying to goad me be nosy. So I would say, oh, no, I don't, but tell me about your family because I would want them to make, I would want them to feel comfortable. I don't want that awkward moment to sort of take over where we both feel uncomfortable with one another. Yeah. Instead, my goal is for you to be comfortable with me. So let's say you said to me, did Jared get a job? Because we're friends, right? Mm-hmm, but we haven't seen each other for a month, and you know Jared was looking for a job. Okay, you're my girlfriend. Did Jared get a job? Let's say it is a sort of a bone of contention around here. I might say, no, Joy, you know, he hasn't. He's working at it. So bring me up to date. What's been going on in your life since the last time we've had a chance to talk? It's letting you know we're moving to a different topic, but yeah. I came up with it. I didn't hope that you would. I moved this along, took responsibility, and was just, you're my friend. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable that you asked me a question that just isn't feeling real good for me today. It's just not a topic I want to chat about.
Yeah, yeah. The other day at a different holiday party,
whoa,
when this question...
You're popular, though.
Not really. when a question like this was asked, my husband said, you know, when the question, do you have any children, came up, said, just the four-legged kind, our dog and cat.
Right, I get
and then it turned into a, everybody started talking about their pets, and it was a nice...
That's a wonderful thing your husband did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, don't you think that he did it in a very simple way? It's too bad he has to do that. I'm going to say that again, but because people just assume everyone has kids. And let me just add on another note. I don't want to be too distracted from complimenting your wonderful husband, but I do want to say that people, especially women, and I get to say that, even if it's unpolitically correct, but I am a woman, and I happen to be a parent, think that we can talk about our kids as if everyone is so fascinated with them. They are not, okay? And that includes people that have kids. You know, this, come up with a new topic, okay? Let's talk about books. Let's talk about politics. This is a good time to talk about politics. And people say, oh, I thought you weren't supposed to talk about politics or religion. Well, I disagree. There's good ways to do it and bad ways to do it. But I think some people find that they can go on and on about their children as if we're all fascinated. And the same way some people can go on and on about their golf game or their, you know, place on the lake for the summer, as goes on in Wisconsin a lot, because who wouldn't want to have a place on the lake?
I know I would. And we'll talk more about some of your tips on how you can move these conversations along or change the subject politely. And we'll wonder from our listeners, do you have any small talk pet peeves or... landmines when you get together for holiday gatherings? We're talking about small talk during the holidays, those open houses, business events, social gatherings, family gatherings for the holidays. 1-800-642-1234. How do you start a conversation? How do you avoid sensitive topics? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Deborah Fine. She is author of the book, The Fine Art of Small Talk, How to Start a Conversation, How to Keep it Going, Build Networking Skills, and Leave a Positive Impression. We welcome your questions for her. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Tuesday, December the 11th. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. According to Ben's guest after 5 today, American girls today face a sexual minefield planted in part by a generation of women whose brand of radical feminism has resulted in a cultural seismic shift. That's according to Ben's guest after 5 o'clock, who is author of the book Prude, How the Sex-Obsessed Culture Damages Girls. That's after 5 this afternoon. We're talking about small talk and the fine art of small talk with our guest, Deborah Fine. Deborah Fine is the author of this book. She's a former engineer and now a nationally recognized speaker and trainer. And we welcome your questions about small talk. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Maybe your examples of awkward moments during these social gatherings during the holidays, and maybe we can have some suggestions for you on how to avoid that minefield. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. You have, as I mentioned, Deborah, find this list that was in our local paper about the 10 conversation landmines for the holidays in particular. We already talked about the question, are you two ever going to get married, or when are you two going to make me a grandmother, which is right. You know, something along those lines. And the one that cracked me up on this one, too, Cool Whip is interesting. Did you ever think of the real stuff instead, or did you cook this yourself, or did you just thaw it out?
Well... Did it make you laugh because you thought, oh, my gosh, nobody would say that, or because there's something familiar? In
this? Oh, it is familiar. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so what's so bad about that?
Well, it really puts me, let's say I'm the hostess, on the spot. You know, Deborah, did you get this, you know, from a bakery, or did you make this? And, you know, let's talk about a response to that, right? Because because if somebody were to ask me that and... Trust me. Well, a girlfriend might ask me that, but it's typically one of my sisters or, you know, someone who feels familiar enough to ask a question like that. And I've slaved, 28 people here for a meal, and you're going to ask me that in front of the 27 people? So what I say, and if you can use humor, you know, that really is the best way to deflate people, to say something like, and it's exactly what I did, because the question wasn't posed to me about thawing. It was about, did you pick this up from the store? Did you make this? I said, you know, after the meal, when you have a chance to come back in the kitchen, I'll share the recipe with you. That's all I said.
Very good.
And then when they came back in the kitchen, Deborah, so give me the recipe. This is the recipe. I got in my car. I drove to the bakery. I had pre-ordered this. I picked it up. It was in a box, and I served it. Meaning, I'm not going to announce this to the other. It's not that I'm lying about whether I made it or not. I just don't need to be put on the spot like that, you know, about which things I prepared and which things I picked up. So, you know, that's something to consider.
And just, I guess, in defense of your sister or whoever, I mean, sometimes it is like, this is delicious. Oh, I would love the recipe for this. Or you're just trying to be, you know, complimentary.
Right. Mm. You are. Mm. And that's a little different than, did you pick this up from a baker or did you make it?
Yeah,
and see, that's the difference between someone who's thoughtful, what you just expressed, and someone who is not. So, I think that's the, especially with family, we just let down our guard sometimes and say things like, well, there's another one on the list, I'm sure, that says, I don't have the list in front of me, I just know these by heart, is that, you know, you still haven't learned to use an iron, John? You know? Okay, well, that's, you know, that comes right out of either a parent's mouth or an uncle's mouth or, and, you know, the other hard thing, I think, Joy, is, so let's say you have a nephew or a niece and he or she is, whether they be 12 or 28, right?
Mm-hmm. I've got one each, I think.
Oh, there you go. And sometimes it can be really challenging because I don't know how old you are, Joy, but I'm guessing you're not 28 or 20.
I am not. Right? I'm pushing 50, so.
There you go. So I'm in my mid-50s. Mm-hmm. So unless it's my own child, so sometimes, you know, those listening who are parents know, sometimes it's challenging to talk to your own child in a light, wonderful way because you sort of become an FBI agent. So how's school? Good. How's football? Great. Do you have a lot of homework? Yeah. Oh, well, it's nice talking to you. I mean, you become an FBI agent, not just in that situation, but maybe, Joy, I meet you at a social gathering, right? It's holiday party, let's say an office party my spouse is dragging me to, or your husband has dragged you to a holiday party, and I'm there, too. And so what do you do, Joy? I'm a, you know, a journalist, a radio host. Mm-hmm. Oh, so where are you from, Joy? Where are you from, Joy? Why don't you tell me?
Well, I'm from Appleton, Wisconsin, originally. I've been living in Madison for the past 20-some years.
Okay. Just by going from what do you do... to where are you from? Mm-hmm. I become an FBI agent.
Yeah.
Try, in order to have good conversations, to do things like this. If you're going to start with, what do you do, Joy? And she says, I'm a radio host. Well, tell me what that entails.
Exactly.
Yeah, or, you know, what got you into that? Stay on topic.
Yeah.
So that you don't sort of hammer somebody and they feel like, no offense, Joy, that they're being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one thing for you to be interviewing me now. That's fine. That's we've both agreed to that situation. But when I'm at a party, I want to have a relaxed conversation that's like a tennis game that goes back and forth.
Right. Right. I liked your tip too in the book where it should go back and forth, but give yourself, you know, 5 minutes max before turning it to somebody else and giving them a turn. Don't monopolize the conversation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that, you know, that's another thing that happens. Let's say even the shyest person, if I or you, Joy, show an interest in them where I'm giving verbal cues, really? Oh, that's great, Tom. Oh, then what happened? Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. I can't believe you did that. Well, so tell me what happened next. Uh-huh. Now, Tom is realizing that I'm genuinely interested in what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm encouraging him. That's another tip with verbal cues. Really? Mm-hmm. I mean, you do that, Joy, very well, but I'm assuming that you're very good at this. So I'm giving him verbal cues. I'm encouraging him to keep going. And before he knows it, without even realizing it, he's still talking about himself 15 minutes into this. That's what happens to shy people and ordinary people, where without realizing it, 5 minutes later, I'm still talking about my trip to Greece. After 5 minutes, throw the conversation ball back and ask them about their work or their trip or their right. holiday traditions. You know, no matter how interested they seem, the ball needs to go back and forth.
Let's go to the phones and take some calls from our listeners. Nan in Eau Claire joins us first. Hi, Nan. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thank mm-hmm. you for taking my call. I think you have a great guest and a great topic there. I am calling to ask a question about a special case. You know, your guest talked about how family, you know, we let our guard down, and right. It's easier to get, like, caught, you know. I am not an American. I am from China. Mm-hmm. And in our culture, it is people assume that just any people, random people, that they they are entitled to ask you very personal questions, especially if they are older than you and you are a young woman. And they ask a pretty intrusive question, like, how old are you? Are you married? Why not?
Right.
I got asked a lot, and especially for someone who got a PhD, and, you know, it's like a given that they ask that kind of question. And every time I felt so powerless and unable to, you know, in our language, it's hard to, if you say, like, you know, in America, I got asked by Americans or people from other countries. I just kind of laugh and say, "Hi, you're like asking a little more than what I want to give." You know,
right.
And in English, that's fine. But in Chinese, it incurs a hostility feeling, I think.
Yeah. So there are cultural differences, Deborah Fine.
Well, I'm not an expert, but I will tell you that, for instance, General Electric is a corporation I've worked for many times and dealt directly with that because there's with the Asian community in that there are so many cultural differences, and it has been disclosed to me exactly what's being described here, where if she reacts in a way that sounds defensive, it will be viewed as hostility. The problem here is that in the Asian culture, for whatever reason, they have permission to ask these very personal questions and expect an answer. Isn't that correct? And for some reason, I forgot your caller's name.
Nan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Nan?
Uh-huh.
Yes. So I think that you're in a tough spot because you don't want to offend anybody, and yet look at how accomplished you are. And in a sense, they're saying you're not accomplished at all because where's your husband, right?
Yes, exactly. That's what they mean.
That is what they mean. But I think the best way to handle it is with a smile on your face and to say, you know, it hasn't worked out at this point. It just, you know, when it does, you'll be the first to know. Or, you know, if you want to be funny, you know, first I'm going to, you know, when it happens, when I find the right man, I'm going to first call Oprah, and then you'll be the second to know. So, you know, just anything, because you're not, the real key here, Nan, is we're not going to be able to change them. I mean,
yes.
I'd like to change them. I'm sure you would.
Yeah.
But we can't change other people. That's pretty obvious. And I think it's really unfortunate because a woman or man as accomplished as you deserves a lot of recognition. But in the culture, you're also expected to be demure and submissive, and that's a big problem in the corporate world, because you won't get noticed and you become invisible. And that's one of the reasons I've done some of the work I've done, is that if you don't not speak out or be the storyteller, but just at a coffee break, at least go up and say hello to the boss and reintroduce yourself, you do become invisible. And that's respected in the Asian culture, but not respected, unfortunately, in the American culture. Mm-hmm.
I found myself having an easier time in a gathering with people from other countries or people, you know, from America, because I know how to use those verbal defense, if you will,
right,
to make conversation or to sidetrack the conversation. But it was just I've been here for 7 years, and
right,
I still kind of take an avoidance approach to my own community, because I got badgered with all the questions. You know, I have been always. And so I just try to figure out, and, you know, I ask around people who have worked with the Chinese community who are, you know, not Chinese, and try to figure out. And everybody recognizes this is really tough.
Yeah, well,
it is.
Nan, thank you very much for the calling.
Yes, thanks for calling.
Good luck to you. Next we go to Nora in Cameron. Hi, Nora, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
I want to ask your guest. I'm a very outgoing person, and when I go to a party and, you know, there's hors d'oeuvres or something first and then you're going to sit down to dinner, I like to move around and talk to most everyone in the room. But if you're talking to someone and you've kind of exhausted all of the things you're talking about and you want to move on, how do you do this gracefully without seeming rude and just moving on?
Well, Nora, I want you at every party I go to. Let's just start there. But that's a great question. I have a whole chapter on exit lines, so let's address a couple. First of all, if you can, and I guarantee you that Joy's going to do this to me when we get close to the end of our hour together, but we can do this in conversation when we're on the phone or in person at a party, and that is to give what I call the white flag. The white flag is what car racers use to indicate to the drivers that there's one more lap and then this race is over. So we're going to do the same thing. And my guess is, Nora, you've done this without even realizing it, but now you're going to use this as a technique. For instance, let's say I found out from Joy's husband about their animals, but he's one of these people, and I'm making this up, of course, it just goes on and on about his animals and every animal he ever had since he was 5 years old.
You're
and
not making
where
that
he
up.
Oh, I'm not? Okay, there. See, I have ESP, no. And so I'm just thinking to myself, okay, I want to move on. So this is what I do. What is his name, Joy?
Rob.
Mm-hmm. Rob, my goodness, what a menagerie you've had your entire life. I want to hear, if you can tell me, what is, you know, your favorite pet that you've ever had. I really want to know which pet that is, before I take off, because I see my friend Nan over there, and I want to make sure I catch up with her before it's time to sit down for dinner. So just give me the highlight. What was your favorite animal before I get over there to Nan?
You're giving a cue that I want to hear about this. You're being polite, but
right,
you're also saying this conversation is ending after this.
That's exactly right. You're giving them a warning so they have a chance to wrap up. The thing is that most of us feel bad about leaving people because we feel we're abandoning them, and you don't worry about that. As long as you give them a chance to finish. Now, a lot of people hear that cue and wrap it up. A lot of people have bad manners, like my mother. Let's give an example. Mom, in a few minutes I need to take off because I need to go to Sarah's game. How was the rest of your week? So she goes on and on. She heard the cue, but she chooses to ignore it and goes on and on and on. So now it's okay for me to interrupt and go, Mom, like I said, I need to go to Sarah's game. So that's just one example of what you might want to use as a warning.
I don't know if it's cliche, but what about I need to? It's been great seeing you and talking to you. I need to go freshen my drink. Is that too cliche?
Well, no. Yeah. No, it's not cliche. As long as now. See, what I'm worried about is she's got one of these monopolizers that won't stop. That's why I gave that one first. Now, if it's a polite person, it's okay at a certain point to show appreciation. And that's don't forget that one beat there, the show appreciation. Well, it's really interesting hearing about, you know, all these animals you've had. Or, gosh, you've had an amazing career. Or, wow, your children sound like, really the joy of your life. I need to go get a drink. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this is where we blow it without realizing it. you say I need to leave people, just make sure you do what you say you're going to do. If I say, I am starving, I need to get some food, I haven't even gotten to the hors d'oeuvre table, and on my way there, I go, oh my gosh, Janice, happy holidays, I haven't seen you, it's been at least 6 months. Oh, and I start talking to her, I never make it to the hors d'oeuvre table. You see that, Joy.
You're insulted. Yeah.
And I didn't mean to intentionally do that to you, but it happens. So this is when that occurs. Gosh, I haven't seen you forever. I'd love to catch up. Do you want to join me? I'm starving. I've got to get some hors d'oeuvres. So at least the party sees you go to get the hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
Or you say, you know what? I'm going to run to the hors d'oeuvre table, get some hors d'oeuvres. I'll be right back so we can catch up. Either way, I make it to the bar, the hors d'oeuvre table, or the bathroom. Don't say you need to go to the bathroom and not go, because I see out of the corner of my eye that you never made it there, and that hurts my feelings. Yeah,
does that help, Nora?
It does indeed. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. That helps me, too.
Oh, thanks.
Next time my husband goes on and on about the animals. Christina,
no.
Christina in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I have a question about how to handle relatives that don't edit what they say, and they think they're saying something that's fine. I have a grandmother who has a tendency not to edit and ends up offending people, a lot of people in the family.
Oh, an example.
For example, in the past, she's been known to say that my hair looks better down than up. And on my wedding day, she said precisely two things to me. When she first saw me after not seeing me for a very long time, she said, "You're going to wear your hair down, aren't you?"
My goodness.
And at my reception, the only thing she said was, "Don't get any bigger."
Oh, my God.
Grandma.
Oh, wait. She also did say, "Have a nice life." But that was it. And, like, how do you handle someone who, you know, you spend so little time with them, and the only things they say tend to be offensive, and you don't know how to transition out of it, and it's really awkward and it's really embarrassing. But it's your grandmother.
Yeah.
I know, but that's just, I don't, you know, it's your family and your grandmother, but there's a line there. For instance, if I ever become a grandmother, I hope one of my children, if I ever say anything like that, because my guess is that she's over the line. Is she all together to say something like that? Forget on your wedding day, which is even, like, horrific to me. Any other time would be horrific about the hair. And actually, this is funny, just a week ago, somebody told me that on their wedding day, their grandmother said to them, are you going to wear your hair like that today? Just before she walked down the aisle. I mean, it's just like, why would you say that, even if it was in your heart to say it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So she's either, like, got something's missing.
Yeah, sometimes dementia things cause people to say things they might not.
But I think it is okay, especially on a day like that, especially because you're a woman, to say, that's hurtful. That's hurtful. And I would really, because if you said to me, gosh, Deborah, you know, your hair, I've seen you in better hairdos, and you were my girlfriend, it would either be okay because we have that kind of relationship, or if it's not, I would say, you know, that's hard for me to take right now because I wasn't having a good day anyways, and now I feel worse about myself. But I think she deserves a little honesty here in the sense that, without being attacked and lowering yourself to her, because maybe she thinks it's okay to talk to people like this. And I know she's older, obviously, and so life's short, so maybe she doesn't have that much time to hurt people. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I had someone in my family who said to me when my boy was little, why don't you put a mirror in front of him so he can see what a pig he looks like because he was overweight?
Oh, no.
And I let her have it. And I'm glad I did. Of course I'm glad I did, but I didn't even just let her have it. I let her have it out of anger, obviously, but I also let her have it. There's a line here, and you will never go over it again if you want to interact with me or this child.
Okay.
So in a way, you're going to, I mean, this sounds ridiculous after what Joy and I have been talking about, but you may have children someday, right? I mean, or you may not, and I don't mean to be personal, but if you do, you wouldn't want, and she's there, you don't want her to say to your little girl, oh, Are you sure you want that cupcake, honey? I mean, my goodness, we have enough pressure in this world, especially about what we eat, us women, without exactly. your grandmother interacting with your future daughter.
Yeah. And, so, and this is important, Deborah, when you're saying that, you know, you don't have to be polite and accepting
right.
of all these rude comments, that it's perfectly fine for you to say, hey, that's very hurtful.
And, don't you think? I mean, what do you all? I think it is.
Yeah. I certainly do, too. And but I guess you're thinking it's grandma. But there's a way to tell grandma that that's hurtful.
But do you, when I said it's hurtful, mm-hmm. I wish you. It's about me. It's not. I didn't say you're an idiot. Why would you say
yeah.
that? Okay, that's all. Not that she isn't, but I would never at a wedding or on my wedding day or somebody else's attack someone because I don't want this to escalate where it impacts the rest of
yeah.
the event.
Right.
But I can say this. That is really hurtful to me, and I'm disappointed that you would ever say anything like that to me.
Okay. That's
right?
helpful.
Yeah, Christine, I know what she means, though. I've heard that from other family members. They think they can cross that line, and you know, maybe they can't. Deborah Fine, our guest, a former engineer, is now a nationally recognized speaker and trainer. She is the author of the book, The Fine Art of Small Talk, How to Start a Conversation, Keep It Going, Build Networking Skills, and Leave a Positive Impression. We're focusing in on the small talk that we must make at holiday gatherings, those work parties or neighborhood open houses or the family holiday get-together, talking about some of the minefields to avoid and the conversation starters that you might want to try, responses that you might want to also try. We welcome your questions and examples for our guest. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. Kathleen and her guest will take a look at the presidential candidates and their online campaigns. And then after 10, Studs Terkel joins Kathleen to talk about his latest book, Touch and Go, a memoir. That's coming up, Kathleen Dunn, between 9 and 11. We're talking about the fine art of small talk. Our guest is Deborah Fine, and she is the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk, and we're figuring out how we can survive the holiday party season with all of the gatherings and parties and such. Boyd in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Boyd. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy, and
morning.
Hello to your guests. This is a fascinating topic, and I grapple with it on my own. To get to the point, what do you do when it comes to having a conversation? Because I know your guest said earlier, you know, you try to talk for a few minutes, and then you try to be aware. You give yourself a cutoff point, then you kind of let the other person take the reins and be like, well, what did you do? And the reason I bring that up is why that really hit home to me was, there are times when I get nervous, I ironically tend to be very talkative, and I'll just make this brief. A person had unexpectedly had called me one time, and we got into a conversation. I'll admit, probably for about three quarters, I was talking, but it was because I was nervous. And just to level, this person was a female, and even though she was a friend of mine, I'll level with you, I sort of liked her more than just as a friend.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But that's not ironic. I think it's normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For all of us. I mean for both genders. I think a lot of us, when we get nervous, we talk too much. I don't know whether you did or not, Boyd, but either we become what I described before, FBI agents, where we ask question after question because we're nervous, so we just sort of hit people like a batting cage, you know, that ball coming at you.
Sure.
Or we just, somebody sounds interested, so we keep babbling and babbling and babbling. And I think it's I'm not a psychologist, but it's just, I know that it's a very familiar pattern when we feel nervous. So I think, and you know, can I offer another extension to that? When you're, my guess is if you're like that on the phone, then you're like me or what I was most of my life. In person, it will show in your body language as well. So you're not just talking and talking, but if you are, if you appear in your body language like excessively like anxious,
yes,
but or fidgety or just, it makes other people uncomfortable.
Yes.
When someone feels uncomfortable with you, whether they find you fascinating, interesting, kind, loving, handsome, whatever it may be, without recognizing it, without realizing the intangible, they feel uncomfortable with you despite the other signals that are telling them this is a fine person to spend time with, their gut says they feel uncomfortable because of that body language, and without realizing why, they will decide that it's not someone they want to spend time with. We all do that, by the way. People actually select candidates for a job not just based on their GPA and their, you know, professional ability. This is why I wasn't the most successful engineer you'll ever meet. I know it now because I was a straight-A student, for goodness sake, is because I was the person that when you sat with me, you felt ill at ease. It's because I, with my body language, made people feel uncomfortable. Either my eyes would be down and my shoulders slumped, or I'd be fidgeting in my lap or with my hair, or just seemingly awkward. So be aware of this, Boyd. I mean, you can't imagine how impressed I am, seriously, by a man who would call a radio station when at least 75% of this planet, they say 8 out of 10 people are afraid to start conversations with strangers. And you are willing not only to acknowledge it, but introspective enough to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us aren't. We aren't aware of our body language. We aren't aware of what we're doing in conversation. So,
And fessing up that he talks too much when he's nervous.
Well, right. But people aren't even aware of that. So I want you to consider this. Even if it means you have to fake it, Boyd, slow it down in the conversation. Be really aware of what you're doing without obviously being manipulative, which doesn't seem to be in your nature anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But she's showing an interest. Be prepared before you get on the phone with her or any other woman or whomever whether it's a job interview, everyone listening. Be prepared with two or three things to talk about so you can turn that conversation back over to her. Don't hope you'll come up with something to talk about in the middle of that conversation. It's too hard at that moment for any of us. I don't care how many PhDs you have. Just be prepared to say something to her or to someone else like that. So bring me up to date. What happened with work for you this week? You see that I'm ready with something like that?
Sure.
As long as it fits. And to say sure, like you just did, Boyd, to encourage her to keep talking. But the fact is, when you're nervous, whether you're going to see someone in person or on the phone, be aware of that, slow it down, make sure that conversation goes back and forth. And I think that in your case, I think all it requires is a little bit of preparation and thought.
Boyd, thanks a lot for calling.
Yes, really.
Geraldine and Amory is with us now. Hi, Geraldine, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to comment about the earlier situation at someone's wedding and the comment that grandmother made about the hair. And my father taught me that it's really important to lend a little grace to the situation and to infuse some humor. So I would think that when something like that happens, you might say, isn't it crazy? I love my hair down or up or whatever, but I'm so glad you're here. And just show a little respect. And maybe that isn't the place, to be totally honest, and that should happen outside of that event. Because although it may be your event, it's really more than just about you. And, you know, in this day and age, when we're really trying to role model that respect for elderly especially, that might be a good place to start, is recognizing that you can change that situation by what you say and your body language, just like you're saying.
Well, I would agree with what you said on the surface, because you're right. It's not, the wedding is not about her, and it's not just, it's about a family, it's about vows, it's about all those other good things. But my sense is because she'd already been told by her grandmother about her, you know, she always looked better with her hair up than down or reverse, whatever that was. And I wish she had talked to her grandmother years ago. I wish somebody else had talked to her grandmother. We should show respect to our elders. But this grandmother has been doing this. She's been nasty to people for a long, long time. That was my impression. It wasn't something that when Joy and I talked earlier, when somebody says, do you have kids? They don't mean to be disrespectful to Joy or to not be caring about Joy or put her in an awkward spot. They're just trying to be friendly. This just sounded like something that's been perpetuated, and no matter what the age is, what that is bad. I wouldn't want my children to see that grandmother acting like that. My children are not allowed be judgmental to people, to be impolite to people. I wouldn't want them to think that when they're 80 they get to do that, meaning when they're 25 they get to do it. So I agree with everything that you're saying, but somebody allowed this woman to get this far where she would say, you know, you're big enough already, this needs to stop, at someone's wedding day.
Thanks, Geraldine. Here's an email from Steve in Green Bay. What is the correct way to bring up the topic of politics?
Steve, I don't. You can bring it up any way you want, but this is the key that most of us forget. We all have our opinions about politics or religion or the weather, okay, or the Green Bay Packers. We all have an opinion. Just make sure when you offer your opinion, and don't make your opinion last more than a couple minutes, of course, offer your opinion. Do not forget to say, what are your thoughts about that to the other people that or person that you're with, or what's your opinion about, you know, the Green Bay Packers the rest of the season, or what's your opinion about, let's say you support one candidate, what are your thoughts about that candidate, or what are your who's your favorite candidate? That's, we become proselytizers when all we do is offer our own opinion as if we're a know-it-all, and we know the Packers are just going to do great without saying, just, you know, what do you think is going to happen for the rest of the season? Then we have a real conversation instead of just standing on our soapbox. Yeah. Do you agree with that, Joy?
I'm in the middle on that.
Oh,
one. No.
Are you? Yeah, that's funny. But seriously, it a lot, because how are we going to, that's what real conversation is to find out what Steve's thoughts are about politics. I want to know what his thoughts are, even if they're different than mine, as long as it's an exchange. Right?
Right. I think about, even though in an aerobics class or in various, I'm trying to think of different, I was on a tour for travel and talked about how talking politics is taboo because there are so many wide-ranging opinions that there's the risk that somebody will be offended. So it's not brought up very often.
Well, I think that I don't think I'd be offended as long as you were sure to ask my opinion. Mm-hmm. I get awfully offended when someone thinks they're right.
Yeah. Let's go to Mary and Nina. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. There's someone at work who wears a fragrance that is more than just unliked by me. It's actually an irritant. It's causing my eyes to water and that sort of thing. How do I gracefully broach the subject with this person without making them feel that I'm accusing them of something, which I'm not. This is just one of those quirky things of life.
Yeah, I'd go to the boss. I don't know.
If there's a human resources department, yeah. I agree with you, Joy, completely. If there's not, because it's one of those family situation or whatever, I think you have to disclose that you have this horrible reaction, that it's not about her fragrance, that it's about you.
Okay.
That whether you have an allergy or that it's about, you know, something that you are overly sensitive and you know that, you know, anything so that she doesn't feel awkward or bad. I would feel terrible. If I wore a fragrance and you told me, I would feel like, oh, my gosh, I've done this to this woman for how many years now we've worked together, and I'm embarrassed about it, and it would change our relationship because of that. And
okay.
I might wish that you had told me earlier. So I think you just need to take all the blame.
I would say that this reaction just developed.
Right. Right.
Good luck, Mary, with that. You know, we only have about a minute to go.
Wow.
Deborah
Fine.
I know that was this one fast, and I hope that the open house this Saturday at my neighbor's house will go this quickly.
I have no doubt it will. Can I ask you to please walk up to new people? And I'm not really talking to you, Joy, but everybody listening, take the risk of walking. That's a safe situation that Joy is going to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for them to walk up to you. We're all waiting for everybody else to come up and introduce themselves, or we're waiting for our grandmother from St. Louis to come out here and properly introduce us. Walk up. You know, what's your, you know, tell me about your connection to the host or hostess. That's the perfect opening at
great
a party like that.
Mm-hmm. How do you know so-and-so?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then just keep it going from there. And, you know, the people we want to be around are people that are willing to take that risk of walking up to new people, of introducing me. If you see someone else come close to the group and you don't know them, just stop this conversation for a second. Hi, I'm Deborah Fine. And they say, I'm John. Well, John, this is Joy. I just met Joy. She lives, you know, on the other side of town, but I guess they grew up together. Can you believe it? They're like, they went to high school together, and they're still friends.
Well,
and now
Deborah Fine, I want to go to a party with you.
Yeah, thank you. I know. That's why my husband married me, so I really do understand that.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward, actually, to Saturday. Thanks so much for being with us.
It was my pleasure. Yeah. Thank you.
Deborah Fine is author of the book, The Fine Art of Small Talk, talking with us on how to survive the holiday get-togethers that we have so many of. Thanks to Carmen Jackson and to Brittany DeAnda for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.